First subject this afternoon is on missions, and one of the articles of our Constitution says it'll be the object of this association to promote missions. Let me find it and read it. It should be the object of these associations to promote the union of the faith of the gospel with our educational and mission interests. And this is a very important subject, one that we should all be interested in. And Brother Ricky Oliver is the chairman on this subject. Brother Jay Snoddy and Brother Damon Carlock are on the subject with him. Is Brother Oliver here? He's not here. Okay, Brother Snoddy, you have the report. Brother Snoddy.
Good afternoon. Brother Oliver asked me to offer his apologies for not being here. He has taken pastorate of a church that's in, I'm trying to think, Rayon City, that's not in the association, and he could not be seated and couldn't be here today, so he offers his apologies. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people from the children of Israel out of Egypt. We've all read and heard this verse of Scripture preached and taught numerous times in our lives. We know that God spoke to Moses out of a bush that was on fire and was never consumed. God gave him a specific objective to achieve, a mission. Go bring my children out of Egypt. He did not tell him all that was going to transpire during his time on this mission. He didn't give him all the information that he was going to use during his journey. But what he did give him was an objective to accomplish. Even though Moses tried 5 times to excuse himself, we know that as he progressed in this effort of securing the objective, God gave him everything that he needed when he needed it. He gave him Aaron to be a spokesman for him. He gave him an audience with the highest power in all of Egypt, and gave him the spiritual gifts and the strength to accomplish the mission. Missions, as we refer to them, are our marching orders from God. Many of you know that our oldest son, Bobby's at Parris Island, South Carolina. They're from Marine Boot Camp. Today he's finishing what's called the crucible. If you've been in the service, you know what that is. But what it entails is about 54 hours of food and sleep deprivation, along with a 45-mile hike, 24 obstacles, and 17 problem-solving stations. All of this is in the midst of complete chaos. As a recruit, there must be personal sacrifice in order for them to complete the crucible as a unit. And the only way to fail is to give up and to quit. Now, the platoon feels that if one fails, then they all have failed, even though that the rest will go on and complete and go on to finish. That's their motto of no man left behind. Many, if not all, of our personal tasks or missions in God's service involve some type of sacrifice. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines a sacrifice as destruction, surrender, or loss or incurred for the gain of some object or for some obliging or for obliging another, as in sacrifice of interest for pleasure or of pleasure to interest. The Apostle Paul said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There are many things in our life that we just don't want to give up or sacrifice to serve God or to do for God's cause, excuse me. Satan has implemented in our mind that this or that is not bad. And we can still serve God and do this too. A soldier for God and His cause, we must recognize the snares of Satan, the snares that Satan has placed all through our lives, and be resolved to deny ourselves the lust of the flesh when they present themselves. We know what our own personal weaknesses are, and Satan does too. If we refer back to the mission that Moses was commissioned with, we see that he was faced with having to return to a people that had no use for him, an opposing leader that was despised the ground that he walked on, and the daunting task of convincing the Hebrews that he was going to take them to a land that was promised to him by God Almighty. Just as Moses did, our obstacles must be overcome through prayer, supplication, and self-denial. And self-denial is something that our society likes to promote, in that it is a common belief that if it feels good and I want to, then it's okay and there will not be any consequences for my actions. But as a soldier in Christ's army, there are consequences for our actions. Our spiritual growth is hindered, and we become stagnant, desiring to live our lives as we see fit, and make token appearances at church on Sunday to say that we're Christians. When we become stagnant, our witness to the world becomes of no effect, and lost people die to spend an eternity in torments. Just as Moses had to deny his reservations and personal desires, he followed God's directive and was laid out as it was laid out and accomplished the mission. And as Bobby must perform his duties and deny himself of the basic desires of the flesh over the past and next several hours in order to be called by the title of United States Marine, we must perform our duties with all diligence and deny ourselves the lust of the flesh in order to accomplish our mission of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. As Paul told the church at Ephesus, the body, or the church, is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We are joined together as the unified body in Christ, working together as a finely oiled machine. Nowhere in the Scriptures will you find a directive that you are to accomplish anything on your own. A Christian that is on a mission, whether it is across the ocean, in another state, or in our own backyard, must have support. First, from God Himself, because nothing can be accomplished without Him. Secondly, from the church that they are a member of. And third, from all of God's people. The first thing that comes to everyone's mind when we mention supporting a Christian on a mission is money. Money is what makes things possible in this world. And we must live in this world. But financing is not the most important aspect of supporting a mission. When someone starts to work on the mission field, we are all excited. We give them lots of attaboys for a spell, and then life continues. We get back into our routine, and our thoughts go back to supplying our fleshly wants. If we are to be effective in our efforts on the mission field, we must get behind the work that they are going on with prayer, supplication, and encouragement. I know from experience that properly timed phone call or a card can be an encouragement to get someone through the valley. When we have denied ourselves of our comfort and visited a mission point, it could be the spark that ignites a full-blown revival. When we were on the mission field, I got word one time that a supposed missionary Baptist was in the area, and their comment was, "I'm waiting to see if God's in it before that we attend." With that type of attitude, we will fail, and lost people will pay the price of our self-indulgence. Brothers and sisters, we are in this together with God. It's not this brother's work or that sister's job. Each and every mission, wherever it is, should be ever upon our hearts and minds. When we receive our marching orders, deny the flesh, work together unselfishly, and hold each other up to an almighty God, we will be successful, and we will see lost people saved, rejoicing in the Lord.
All right, brethren, you've heard the reading of this report on missions. What's your pleasure? All right, we have a motion and second that this report be adopted. Brother Snoddy, you have a 10-minute opening speech.
In the introductory sermon, he said just about everything that I wanted to say. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "But we all, with open face, beholding as it is, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Before I get any further, I want to take care of something that Brother Reynolds had asked me to do. He asked me to thank the association for the work, for the support that has been going on to Guatemala. There are some copies of the latest mission report and one of Brother Edgar's sermons that's been translated by, I think, by Brother Ryan. Brother Ryan Skinner. They're on top of the coat rack if you want to take a copy and look at it. So wanted to make that announcement. But he said, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." When we look in the mirror, what do we see? Can we see the glory of God? That's the point that we have to get to in order to present missions, to be able to accomplish anything in God's service. We have to get to a point where that we can see the glory of God. We have to be able, because if we can't see the glory of God in us, the world can't either. He wrote also in the 5th chapter, he said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And I've used that thought on numerous occasions to preach that we know that we know that we know. But if when we look at it and we look at an earthly house or an earthen vessel, and that's kind of what Paul was saying when he wrote that when we look into a mirror, what do we see? Do we see the earthen vessel, or that needs to be dissolved, or do we see the spiritual vessel or the glory of God that is inside of us? And he went on to say that, "For in this we do groan, and with the groanings of this life," or the denials, self-denial of this life, and the things that present themselves to us, we can stand apart, or we can be sanctified and set apart for God's service. And it doesn't take, and it's not just about me, it's not just about you, it's about the people that are in this room joined together to take Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And it can't happen if we've got contention between us. It can't happen if we're more concerned about what's on the television. It can't happen if we're concerned more about what our jobs are about. It can't happen if we're not focused and truly upon Jesus Christ. Because the world sees how that we act. How that we react with each other. They see how that we pretend or that how that we put on a show for them. But they can't see the glory of God. So when we stand in the mirror and we look in the mirror, do we see the glory of God? Because what we see when we look in the mirror is what the world sees when we're out amongst them. All right.
Thank you, Brother Snoddy. All right, on this subject with Brother Snoddy is Brother Damon Carlock. Carlock.
I want to start off with a few minutes that I have. I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. I want to thank the committee for choosing me. I don't know why. I'm not worthy to stand in front of this crowd. I'm not worthy. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And then down at verse 13 it says, "For I am the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." And I find a lot of comfort in those scriptures. As you all know, most of you all know, we've been burdened with a mission in Panama City Beach. And I do want to point out one thing real quickly, that Brother John Porter lives not but just a few hours away, and he's been very supportive of help coming down there and helping us and being in service with us nearly every time. And I thank him for that. And I'll tell you what, you can't preach to empty seats. And but we've been blessed with people that come in. Nearly every service someone comes in. But I want to say a few words about Junior Moore. And as seldom any of y'all don't know Junior Moore. What a help he was. He went with me every time that I went. Only just a few times he did miss. He had appointments somewhere else to preach or whatever. But I'm not here to lift up Junior Moore. Junior Moore would never want his name lifted up, but I want to use him as an example to what maybe we can be to other missionary people that are out there, just as they say, hanging out in the wind. They're out there. Amen. And I'm telling you, just a word of encouragement, a kind word, a call, a phone call, a card, it goes a long, long way. I'm not asking that for myself. I want to brag on my church that they have been totally supportive of me and behind me in spite of the things that's happened to me. And some of you all know about it. I'm not going to get into that. But I'm telling you, support is worth everything. And Jay mentioned about money. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about prayers. I'm talking about giving an encouraging word to the right person at the right time. In a mission setting, it's not like being in this church. It's not like being in a regular church. when you go out there, and sometimes you don't even conduct a service like we would here. The folks that are there, they want to do it differently, and I'm okay with that. To the point that we do not ever forget Jesus and lifting His name up. That's the most important. The first girl that came to the mission down there, and I want to tell you quickly about that. Hope I'm not out of time yet. Her name is Catherine. And she came and she listened to the sermon and we had a good service, a spiritual service, nothing out of the extraordinary. But at the end of the service, she raised her hand. She didn't even know to get up and it be acknowledged. She just raised her hand and started doing that. And so I acknowledged her, and she proceeded to tell us about an experience that happened to her in jail several years before. And I'm telling you, folks, these folks that are out there in this mission setting, and I'm not talking about Africa or different places that other people go, they don't even know what they got. And she had salvation. At least I think she did. She presented a testimony that I believe was a good one. But there's a lot of people out there that don't even know they got it. They know something happened to them. Can anybody in here tell how the Lord saved you? Nobody can do that. I can't tell you how He done it. He done it, though. I feel it. And she had that. I just want you to understand that it's a different setting altogether when you get out in a mission setting. The devil wants to stop it in any way he can because he knows that is a direct promotion of God's Word, and he is against anything godly, period. And he'll do whatever it takes. He'll do. And I want to reemphasize that. He'll do anything to stop it. You'll even get in your own family. I just want to reiterate this one point, and I just want to thank, even though he's not here, Junior Moore. How many of y'all knew Junior Moore? Everybody in here probably knew Junior Moore. Could you ever find something wrong with that man? Could you ever find anything bad about that guy? Could you ever say anything? He was always on point. He was always right. And I'm telling you, folks, me and him had differences about how we believed, but I want to tell you one thing about that man. He always was an encourager. He always encouraged. He always lifted up the Word. He always lifted whoever he was with. He would go with me, and I've talked to other brethren about appointments together to preach. And I'd go preach somewhere, or he'd go preach, and I'd visit with him. And you know, Brother Gail, you know what I'm talking about. We'd always go somewhere together, and he'd always be encouraging. So let's be encouraging for this work. Not just missions, but let's just be encouraging for all of God's work, because we get downtrodden, folks. I'm telling you, on that road from here to Panama City Beach, it gets old. It gets tiring to drive 8.5-9 hours, and you listen to every radio station, you put every minister school tape in you can find, and you listen to Brother Curtis. I've listened to you I don't know how many times. I appreciate it. Y'all pray for me and pray for the mission. I appreciate it. I'll let you have that first.
Thank you, Brother Carlisle. All right, brethren, the subject is open, and visitors, with the permission of the association, are allowed to speak also. So if any of you feel led of the Lord to speak, all you have to do is indicate that you want to speak, and we'll. And I'm sure the association will give you permission to do so. I don't like rapping the gavel, but we do have rules to go by. And so we try to abide by the rules.
When he said, Brother Curtis, it was time.
It was time, yeah. That's time. Brother Creasy.
Let's see. This is time.
Today, while I was flipping through, I was trying to look something up in the minutes from last year. And I saw my name in there. And it says, Phil Creasy came forward to speak about the work of Ghana, and he will be sending out a letter discussing the details. I am sorry. I just read that. I forgot all about that. And I did not get the letter out. I did send a letter to the people who are supporting, and if you haven't got it yet, you'll get it. But I am very sorry about not sending the churches, this association, a letter explaining what I did the last time I was in Ghana. But now, since then, I've been to Ghana again. And I would like to say one of the things in the report was talking about Moses, and when I heard it, it just spoke to me. It's that God had prepared for Moses somebody to speak for him, and that God had prepared for Moses an audience with the people there, with a place to speak. When I left this last time, there was a town in Ghana that I wanted to go to. Never been there. Nobody in Ghana had ever, of our preachers had ever been there. But it was on my mind and on my heart. I didn't tell anybody about it. And we got to Ghana, and I was wanting to work with Brother Philemon in Bupi for a while. And we got there, he was deathly sick. I figure he was within a short time of dying if nobody did anything for him, because he was desperately ill. He couldn't stand up. He was falling down. So we shipped him off to down to Kumasi to the doctor, and the doctors found several things wrong with him and put him back together. It's amazing what medicine will do. But in the meantime, we had revival and did things up there. But one of the people came to the revival who was from Wa, the place where I was wanting to go. And we had a really good time, a good talk with him. He was there for 2 days, and we talked about what Baptists are and how Baptists work. He was trained in the Southern Baptist Seminary. When he went home, he wrote a letter to the Southern Baptists and resigned. And then begged us to come to Wa. And I don't know if you know much about Ghana, but if you go very far in Ghana, the people speak a different language. So we went through about 4 different transitions of language when we went to Wa. And we got there, and David is a very educated man, speaks English. He's a reporter for a newspaper, but he's also a preacher. And he would translate for me. And he had 2 different mission places out there. We went to there and taught what Baptists are, talked about Baptist life and salvation, and were able to preach and being translated. So God sent the man to speak for me. He sent prepared the place of an audience, and I didn't know anybody when I left. Nobody. And Samuel didn't know anybody. It's not like somebody that was this is the way it works. This is the second time this has happened to me. That God has prepared people for me on the way. All I had to do was have the faith to go. And I did. I'm thanking God that He gave me that faith and the ability to be able to do it. I was there for 60 days, and we preached in places that, well, we had to go one place was 17 miles away, and it took us 4 hours to get there in a truck. And so, you learn to lean away from the door when you're driving in one of those things, because the truck's going like this back and forth. They'll bash you in the head if you're not careful. But we had a good time, but there are places over there that need our support. They cannot build churches and support pastors, buy vehicles to go back and forth, build houses for pastors on their own. They make maybe $4 a day. And the rest of the time they're spent digging in the ground, planting their food that they're going to eat. And they don't have a tractor to dig in the ground. They dig in the ground by the hand. So, you know, we need to, your continued support is very much needed. And we've done good. We've supporting three pastors there right now. There are about six more that I know we could support. All this is being vetted through Brother Samuel and Mount Zion Church, that they may make sure that the people are who they say they are. Me, I'd give my money to anybody. I give my money to people who walk up to me on the street. But Brother Samuel's pretty good about he's pretty good about what he does, talking to people. Brother David, as soon as we left, he has come down and joined, given a testimony, and joined Mount Zion Church. He's gone back up to Wall as a missionary from Mount Zion Church. They are organized, trying to get ready to organize people into churches up there. There'll be three of them up there eventually if things go the way they need to go. Excuse me, just one second. When we go up that way, they will need some money to build churches. It only takes about $4,000 to build a church in most places. In Wa itself, it'd probably be about $7,000 because the land prices are a little higher. But, you know, we can afford it, but they can't. Thank you very much. Oh, you need that? You don't want to catch my snoring down there.
Thank you, Brother Creason. All right. Anyone else wish to speak on the subject of missions? All right. The question has been called and seconded. This is a question as to whether we end the discussion on the subject of missions or not. All in favor of ending the discussion, let be known by uplifted hands.